Hello, hello, beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host. And yes, as sweet Pamela Dawn vocalized for us, let's let go and let God. There's something bigger out there in the midst of all the craziness going on that we can turn to that's always there every moment of every day. So that's the invitation, the ultimate support. And then, of course, we're dedicated here at Advanced Living to bringing you value, to connecting you with some outstanding individuals who are really sparkling in their own lives and doing wonderful things to support others. And we have someone in store for you today. And why? Because I have a prayer. Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. So that's what I'm up to with my prayer each day and bringing guests to you who are just bringing wonderful things to the planet. And before we get started, I want to thank our sponsor, AdvancedLiving.com, the home of the comfort technology. It's a Clark Kent clock with superpowers. How would you like to plug in a tiny device you could hold in the midst of your hands and bring in the energy of the Dalai Lama meditating in your room? Well, the comfort technology literally brings a pure, harmonized, coherent love energy. People like Jack Canfield, Michael Beckwith, Harvard MD, Eva Selhub, the list goes on of good folks that have brought this into their lives. So when you're looking for some instant stress relief and a better energy ambience to help support you for more energy, check out AdvancedLiving.com and the comfort technology. And get ready for a treat today. We have, yes, the 12 Keys of Success, the author David Friedlander. And David has been doing some outstanding stuff. You may not have heard of him yet, but, oh, strap on your socks. This is a young man. When you start to learn about what he's up to and what he's been through, you're going to love to follow him and learn from him. He's an author, an entrepreneur, an adventurer. He's into motivating and inspiring and teaching others how to eliminate fear, anxiety, and doubt in order to replace those things with hope, love, confidence, and the precise tools we can all use to live our best lives right now. And how did he get into this? Well, he was sparked by a dramatic life transformation in 2006 while living in New Orleans. And yes, of course, that might come to mind, rebuilding the city in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Well, you know, what a major disaster. And what a launching pad for a fine young man like David to become aware of his life's purpose and his mission. And as he learned to heal and transform every area of his life, yeah, he had challenges. He transformed his finances, physical and mental health, relationships, spirituality. And in all of that, he knew he'd been given an amazing gift that was first for him to use to set an example, to improve and transform his own life so that we could not only hear good things, but we could know that he was walking his own talk. But ultimately, the gift was given so that he could give this gift and share the benefit of for others, and ultimately the whole world is his big goal. And he's here to wake up people to the truth that we are powerful, creative beings in charge of our own destiny, and that we can all literally have, do, be whatever we want without limits. And he's here to teach people exactly what they need to do to embrace and encourage their greater abilities to live extraordinary lives, and to become live the purpose of their lives, and just as he's done. So a little bit about his background. He's a graduate of the International Academy of Design and Technology in Toronto. He's a certified personal trainer, nutritionist, and yoga instructor, specializing in peak performance and coaching for professional athletes. He's a licensed general contractor. He can build your body. He can build a building. Okay. And he's the co-founder of Faudalie Painting and the Diamond Coat decorative painting systems you may not have heard of unless you happen to be in the southeast part of the country and went to the Waldorf Astoria or the JW Marriott or the Hilton or other fine hotels that are using this. And additionally, he's the founder of The Solid, and you replace the I with the Y in Solid, and thesolid.com, a free website devoted to positive mind, body, and spiritual content. And his hobbies include, yes, he has time for hobbies and all this amazing life, spearfishing, underwater exploration, flying airplanes, motorcycles, and travel. And he spends time with family, friends between New Orleans, Dallas, and Los Angeles. So we're in for a real treat. Welcome, David.
Oh, thank you so much, Ken. I really look forward to being on the show. I'm happy to be on Advanced Living Radio. That was quite an introduction. Thank you.
Well, you earned it because you lived it. This is exciting when someone can take some tragedy and disaster, because who'd think, well, geez, it's going to be fun to live in New Orleans and go through a terrible trauma. But you've pulled through that and built and rebuilt your life and are helping others. And now this wonderful book that I got from you when I met you in Denver, The 12 Keys, wow, well written. Give a little bit about what brought you to writing this book.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned in that glorious introduction you gave there, I moved to New Orleans from Los Angeles right after Hurricane Katrina. I felt very strongly pulled, for whatever reason, that was where I was supposed to be. And my background at that point in time, what I was mainly doing for work was construction in Los Angeles. I'd been playing in a band and some other odd things that weren't quite working out, doing some personal training and who knows what. But I moved to New Orleans, and I really had this incredible awakening spiritually by living in a community where people were really, really focused on, first of all, this catastrophic storm happened. So there was this event where people were living in a slightly different way. It was very different than what was going on in the rest of the world. People were living in a more cooperative way as far as this rebuilding was concerned, because everybody was in the same boat as far as cleanup went, as far as needing to rebuild, as far as people having friends and family who had been affected. Everybody was affected in that environment. So it was a harsh climate, but it was an exciting climate for me. And in the midst of that, my own business career started to really take off and develop. I started reading a lot of books by people like Deepak Chopra, Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, some older books. I watched the movie The Secret, all kinds of stuff about law of attraction. And what happened was I really decided to start testing those things in my life when I had been maybe even doing well but not necessarily fantastic. And by changing some very fundamental things that I was thinking about or ways that I saw the world, I suddenly started to get much better results in my life. And that's what I wrote The 12 Keys about, was that I discovered these 12 key principles that are common denominators between all the most successful people in the world. The most successful people who have ever lived, I argue in my book, that they have these 12 common factors as common denominators between all of them. So once I kind of acknowledge that or saw that from a lot of books that I was reading and by all kinds of different people, I started to apply these things and I started to get great results. My finances went up dramatically. My company started making lots of money. My life became a lot more spontaneous, a lot more fun. And I eliminated fears out of my life. I started doing adventures, skydiving and riding motorcycles and spearfishing and things I had never even thought of or was afraid of earlier in life. And my life just really did a 180. And I started to have a tremendous amount of spiritual liberation. And when my spirit started to become liberated, my actual physical life started to match. And I lost 40 pounds. I got in a great shape. I restored my relationships, or my relationships became better than they'd ever been. And as this was all happening, I just felt very strong and passionate that my mission in life was I was given that gift and taught these important keys so that I could share them with other people, because they're really just fundamental things that have to do with our thought, our thinking, and our habits, that when we learn, we can apply the same amount of energy to our life but get the results we really want. And as I started to learn that and started to get the results I wanted in my life, I knew it was my obligation, my opportunity to share that with other people. So that's what I'm doing now on a global level, speaking, teaching, being on the internet, on TV, on shows like Advanced Living, and going to different trade shows like Where We Met. So that's kind of the story of how the 12 keys came to be in a nutshell.
All right. And that's pretty exciting. And folks, I want to encourage you, people can get this book by going to thesolid.com, and that's S-O-L-Y-D, correct?
Correct, yes, thesolid.com.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
yes.
So that way, remember, it's solid, and why is it solid? Because there's a Y instead of an I. So,
and that's actually an acronym that stands for the Science of Living Your Dreams, which is the concept of the website and of the whole company that I put together, is to promote all kinds of stuff for healthy mind, body, and spirit. And we have all kind of free resources. You can get the ebook for free off of the website. You can watch all kinds of videos, YouTube videos of all kinds of authors, also just heroes, people who are in the book. We've got all kinds of videos on the website, all kind of free resources to lift you up, mind, body, and spirit all the time.
Yeah, and this is particularly important because you, David, personally went into a tremendous disaster area and, of course, did what you could to not only help the people there, but found that you got lifted up in the process and then write this book. Would you say, who would you say would be some ideal people that would want to get this book?
Well, I'm really hoping to wake up and encourage a lot of kids. To be honest, I really want to reach teenagers. I want to reach high school age, college age, young adults looking for, okay, I just graduated college and I have student loans, or I'm in high school and I don't know what I want to do, go to college, work. I really would like to make an impression on the hearts and minds of our country in an optimistic way that offers legitimate and specific tools that every single person can do to learn that their life is in their control and learn how to focus attention on what is wanted in life, what would be ideal, what would be an ideal life to live, and then how to actually bridge that gap between thinking about it and bringing it into reality. And that's what all that we need to do. Every single one of us has the power to literally have, do, and be whatever we want in life. So if I feel like the world is really ready. In the conversations I've been having, in the talks I've been doing, in the events I've been at, I feel that there is a critical mass being achieved right now in our society, and I feel like the book is really aimed at, if you're feeling like you know that spirituality is important to you and you're feeling like living your purpose and you're feeling like important stuff is happening, then the 12 Keys is talking to you. It's giving you specific stuff right now, what you can do. You can have an open mind. You can focus on being of benefit to others. You can kind of check your own plans in life against these 12 key principles and see, are you in sync with them or are you not, to help you just accomplish what you want as fast as possible. Just like that prayer that you said at the beginning of the show, Ken, that's, give me the fastest, most fun way to get to where I want to be in life that's good for me and good for other people, essentially is what I heard you say.
Yeah.
And that's what the 12 keys is. It's the fastest, shortest way. By telling you, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. I'm talking about over 100 different people and businesses who are successful, who have been prospering at extraordinary pace, who have invented big businesses and big companies that you know of, like Starbucks and Home Depot. I talk about lots of superstars like Justin Timberlake, Michael Phelps, Lance Armstrong, Ellen DeGeneres, different people who are succeeding on an extraordinary level. And I'm just telling you, here's their qualities. Here are the characteristics that you and I and all people have, but these people are applying all these things together, all these 12 keys, and achieving extraordinary results. So that's my goal, make it as short and simple, as easy as possible for people to get this information, because it's out there. It's out there, but there's lots of information out there. So I'm doing my part to make it as simple and boiled down as can be.
Ah, okay. This is great. I love it, because in the complexity of the things people are facing today, to have something where they can cut through the fog and the smog and the craziness and go, oh, okay, here's something simple I can look at. And I know in the book you talk a lot about goals and vision. And would you help and tell our listeners why goals and vision are so important? And then if there's anything more that you'd like to share, too, about some of your own goals in this overall message that you're promoting, that would be great, too.
Okay, sure. Sure. I do talk a lot about goals and vision. That would be, key number 6, I believe, and key number 7. 6 being goals and 7 being vision. And what this has to do with is understanding that what we give our attention to repeatedly becomes our reality. That is how our human experience is working. Our three-dimensional life is always following the patterns of our thoughts and specifically our emotions. The 3D reality is like the cart that's following behind the horse of our thoughts and our emotions. And our thoughts and emotions is essentially our goals and our vision. Basically, you don't find yourself spontaneously on an airplane or spontaneously behind the desk of a job or spontaneously married to somebody. Those are all events that first you've thought of them in your mind, and then nature has followed a course to the actual manifestation of those events. So learning to understand intentional living, setting goals, clear, concise goals that you want to achieve, ideals in your life as far as your finances go, relationships go, your physical body goes, your spiritual life, everything, the impact that you want to make in a community, what kind of charity events would you like to be involved in, where would you like to travel to specifically, because that's really what composes the fabric of our actual 3D lives, are made up of what we give our attention to repeatedly, thinking about where will we be in the future. And so if we're giving our attention to just mundane stuff, a lot of people are really not using this power of imagination, goals, and vision effectively. Because most people, a lot of people, are not intentionally thinking stuff. They're more or less just recycling stuff that they're seeing on TV, billboards, radio, internet, talking about random stuff, talking about gossiping celebrities, whatever, that kind of stuff. And so that person is not going to really manifest or accomplish a lot of real specific intentional things for themselves. Now, what I want to teach people is that literally whatever we keep focusing on, that's going to become our reality. So learning to hone in on, well, what do you want? What's ideal to you? That's very, very powerful and important. And understanding that your thoughts, all of our thoughts, are really powerful and they manifest. They actually matter. They become the matter of our lives. So becoming aware that our thoughts are important and learning to focus on specific thoughts. I talk about it in the chapter on goals. I give you like maybe 9 different categories that I talk about as far as your body and your spiritual life and your material possessions, your finances, your health and fitness goals, all that kind of stuff, so that you can make up some clear, like a mosaic, a vision of your ideal life. It's composed of what? And fill in all these kind of blanks. And it's a fun process when you learn that what you give your attention to becomes your reality. And then the second part of that has to do with vision. The difference between goals and vision, vision specifically, is about using that imagination on a daily basis to focus on the circumstances and situations you want to see yourself in, that you want to be in. In the book, I talk about Martin Luther King, for example. He was a great visionary because he was living in the segregated Deep South in 1955 when he began to be a major player in the civil rights movement. At the time, his life was in a segregated community. And so that's the problem. But he wasn't talking about the problem. He was talking about a solution. He was talking about, I have a dream. He was presenting a vision to us of a better alternative, a better reality. And that's what being a visionary is. He's seeing a place, a future, where we would be equal, where all children would play together, where people would respect each other. And so he's telling us about this vision that he has. So that's what we need to learn to develop in our own lives, the vision of where and what do we want to see happen. So if we're going to succeed in our business, in our relationships, we got to see our businesses and our relationships succeeding. And literally, by giving attention to the success of our lives and outcomes, then we will manifest effortlessly, easily, the people, the resources, the connections that are required to support those successes. So that's what I'm really hoping to encourage people, and especially when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, I had no idea of this stuff. So I would use my mind to focus on all kind of conflicts and all kind of problems, and that manifested all kind of conflicts and problems in my life, and I didn't know I was the manifester of it. So I really want to help kids understand that no matter what their situation is, all people, no matter what your circumstances are right now, you have the power to give your attention to whatever you want. That is what the gift of free will, and that enables you to literally create the life that you want to create.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, this is exciting. And folks, I want to encourage you to take advantage of David's offer to go on to solyd.com, thesolyd.com, and download this book. Look at the different resources. Check in if you're into blogging. I mean, he's got stuff on there. It's just pretty fun. And, of course, it's nice to know. When you look at him, he's out doing all this stuff, connected to all kinds of fun people, having a blast, the business is working, things are great, and you think, well, geez. And, of course, it's nice to know that he explained that it wasn't always that way, that he had to learn to practice this stuff. And for folks out there, David, some are going through some tough times. You saw it in New Orleans. And it's not just in New Orleans, even though there has places where there haven't been disasters of that nature. People are still hurting, out of work, different things going on. Can you help with the book? Help us to know how to focus on abundance and prosperity when we're feeling overwhelmed by lack and conflict and craziness.
I would say absolutely, Ken, and that's, again, one of the major reasons why I even wrote this book was to be a voice of hope, a voice of faith, a voice of abundance, offering people that when we're facing our hardest obstacles, when we're facing our toughest problems, those are really the times that we accomplish the most growth, that we have the opportunity to shift and change and transform and evolve. So I discuss in, for example, the chapter on attitude, I go into great detail about how to cultivate a positive attitude. There's always things that you can find in your life to be down about. You can always find something that's not working, that's disappointing you, that's lacking, that's not working the way that you want it. On the flip side, you can always find something to be grateful for. You can always find something that is working, that you have, that you can look back, that's been good to you in your life. The fact is, we live in an abundant world. We live in an abundant world, and our nature as spiritual beings is abundance and prosperity. And the lie in the world today is that lack and limitation, these economic problems and sickness on our planet, that those are the realities and the struggles that humans are facing. Now, it's true that humans are facing those struggles, but the reason they're facing them is because of a lot of incorrect information in the mental paradigm. And that's what I think the real war is on, ignorance. Of not understanding the relationship between our thoughts, our emotions, and our physical lives. So this book is filled with stories of all kind of people who have been down and out, even homeless. The founder of Paul Mitchell Hair Care Products, for example, was literally homeless, and within 10 years became a billionaire, and is also the founder of Patron Spirits, is hugely involved in all kind of philanthropy these days. Also, David Murdoch, the owner of Dole Foods, sits right next to John Paul DeGioia. They're the co-founder of Paul Mitchell on the Forbes 400 Wealthiest Americans, and he was at one time homeless. Both of those guys are dyslexic, both high school dropouts. And so I tell lots of stories that say a lot of us, everybody gets knocked on their can. Everybody at times is down on their luck. But it's about seeing what is there is the real easiest, fastest way to start pulling yourself up out of a hole, is to just, even if you're forcing it at first, find things to either be grateful for, or find things that you can say you love, and that will put your mind on gratitude and on love. And even if you're forcing yourself as a trick, you don't have anything to lose. If things are not going your way, try this for 5 minutes. Try for 5 minutes to just consistently find and look at things that you're grateful for, the things that you love, or just say I love you to every person mentally, you can even do it, that you know in your life. After 5 minutes, that will improve your emotional state.
Now, is that what you refer to in the book as flip the script?
That's something a little bit different. That's just maybe you're having, if you're having, say, a negative circumstance at work, or you're in a fight with your spouse, or in your relationship or whatever, the more you focus on that problem, the more that problem is going to grow because you're focusing on it, and that's what you're giving your attention to. So I say there's always something you can find. Flipping the script is more like stop that story, because focusing on the problem is not making it better. You need to focus on the solution. So you need to just stop that story. And sometimes flipping the script means just move on to new thought. Just move on to something else that actually makes you feel good. And again, this is why goals are really important. Back to that question, is because having a list, and what I say in the book is make a list of a minimum of 100 things. And I've done this. I did this in my life, and this really changed my life dramatically. I made a list of 100 things that I want to have, do, or become. And that list has given me clear targets to keep my mind on so that if or when I'm off track or if I'm focused on something that doesn't feel right, I can immediately just focus on something on my list, like my cell phone in a fishing boat, for example. I love fishing. So me seeing myself on a fishing boat in the Caribbean makes me feel good. It makes me feel inner radiance. So if I take my attention off of what's a problem onto me with a fishing boat, just a vision of me with fishing boat or just me out fishing feels good. So it makes me feel happy. Me emotionally feeling happy will uplift my current state of affairs and maybe will give me a new attitude about how to deal with that problem that I'm facing.
Wow.
So sometimes flipping the script is just improving your emotional state is very powerful. Sometimes you can do it by literally evaluating what's going wrong in a story and then just turning it around, reversing it, and seeing what is the value and how could this problem really turn into something positive. But more often than not, I find it's just easy to move topics in your mind. And when you have that clear list, those become targets you can go back to over and over and revisit. If a goal is to have children, if a goal is to own a charitable foundation, and you see yourself having healthy children or see yourself playing with your kids or see yourself giving a speech at the charitable foundation and making a big impact, that will emotionally lift you up. That'll make you feel good. And that's what I give you is all kind of tools in the 12 keys to emotionally lift yourself up that takes yourself out of the dumps of any wrong mindset, lack, limitation, anger, disappointment, jealousy, and put your mind on abundance, on gratitude, on happiness, on blessings. And suddenly you'll see when your mind and your attitude is vibrating emotionally on positive things, on blessings, look out, because here comes more blessings.
Yeah.
And that's what we all really want.
Okay. Woo. That's pretty fun. And I was just kind of thinking, some folks will listen to this show, will get that ebook of yours, and within an hour or 2 hours, they're going to have their list of 100 things that they'd like to be and do and have to really make their life blossom. And what I'm wondering is if someone is a little stuck, is it okay for them to start with maybe 2 or 5 or add one a day for a while or 2 a day for a while until they have a really big list building? What would you suggest?
Oh, sure, absolutely. I mean, it's very interesting because people I've worked with personally, I've seen often it take a long time to make that list of goals. For me personally, I read in so many books. I read when I was 19 years old the book Think and Grow Rich, telling me to make a list of all my goals in detail. I've read so many books that told me that, and I really resisted it. I never did it. I didn't think it was that important. I didn't understand how or why writing the goals down or visualizing them was so important. But what I found was as soon as I started doing it, when I committed to it and really understood how does this work, that you as an energetic being really are connecting to everyone and everything. So what you are focusing on is going to become your reality. And as I started to really trust that, it became exciting. I would encourage people, write down everything, your greatest fantasies. The thing that really stops most people is because most people are stuck on what do they believe is realistic? What do they think is reasonable or realistic or could actually come to fruition? And that's, again, what I'm trying to encourage is what is realistic is what do you think is realistic? So thinking big, thinking grand, thinking abundantly is stuff that I talk about, encourage, obviously teach in the book, tell stories of people like Madonna. Madonna was obviously thinking grand thoughts when she was a waitress working at Dunkin' Donuts, who moved to New York with $35 in her pocket, did a bunch of random odd jobs, danced as a backup dancer for some disco tour, recorded a few albums, played in a band that didn't really work out, and then recorded self-titled album Madonna. Became a huge hit, and her next album's Like a Virgin, and she's gone on to sell 200 million albums and live a gigantically wonderful, extraordinary life. Now, Madonna was obviously thinking about herself in grand terms. She had to see a vision of herself being a huge superstar, doing fabulous things in order to ever become that person. So that's what I'm encouraging, is that every single one of us has the potential to live that kind of Madonna superstar life at what we personally have gifts, talents, and abilities at. Not all of us are going to be great singers or entertainers, but we all are great at something. And it's about finding that something or things. And again, that's what I talk about in the chapter on purpose and passion, finding what is that for you, and then following that, because there are special things that the world needs from you, Ken, from me, and from every single person listening, that when we give to the world becomes better and our lives become better. So finding that and trusting that will always lead to good places. And again, yes, if you don't write your goals right away, whatever, skip that chapter, move on, read the book out of order. It doesn't matter. I wrote it so that you can literally open up any page and get some positive information. You're going to learn something interesting about someone that you didn't know about, that's going to encourage you, motivate you, inspire you, make you feel like you can do it and know that you can, because you'll hear stories of people who've been more down and out than you and who are now much more famous and influential and powerful than you are, and you'll realize you and I can do the same stuff.
That is wonderful. You know, I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm getting all excited, and I thought to myself, wow, there you are, out in Los Angeles, and of course, part of Los Angeles, Beverly Hills and Rodeo Drive, and it was like, okay, well, what if, when we're thinking of our list, we might get started a little bit and kind of do something modest. All right, well, I'd like a new car, and you know, maybe a Mazda wouldn't be bad, or that kind of a thing. But what if we did a let's pretend? What if we'd won the lottery and could go down Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills and shop at any store with an unlimited budget and just get what we wanted? Or if it wasn't a store, what if it was time and education? I mean, what if we had all this money and time? Would that help us to, you think, open up our way in the visualizing and our, in writing our goals?
Absolutely. I actually give a little tool like that in the chapter on things you can do now. I say 17 things, like fun little games that you can do. And imagining yourself as winning huge Powerball, say $191 million cash Powerball, something like that. It's a very, very healthy exercise to do what you just said, because when you will see yourself going, skipping, dancing down every street, going into whatever store you want and getting whatever you want, giving lavish gifts to whomever you want, what you are doing by that exercise is feeling abundant. You are feeling the free flow of energy and things that you desire, whether they be material things, spiritual things, whatever it may be. And so if you want to go on a shopping spree in your mind, it's a very, very healthy idea. Now, if you go on that shopping spree and then you say, but I'll never get it, but I'll never have that much money, but I'll never be able to, you're immediately defeating yourself from actually experiencing it. When you mentally go there, where we go, I love a quote, I have it in the book by Dennis Waitley. He's the author of The Psychology of Winning. He was a coach, a performance coach to the United States Olympic team, and he is the pioneer of the concept of mental rehearsal. And he says, where we go in the mind, the body will follow. So if you go in the mind to prosperous places, to places where you have abundance overflowing in your mind, where Chris Gardner, the man that the movie The Pursuit of Happiness is about, played by Will Smith in that movie that was out a few years ago, he was homeless, struggling with a kid living in between homeless shelters and very, very seedy locations. And he, in his mind, began to see himself in more prosperous situations. He began to see his life becoming like that of some mentors that he had made in the financial services industry. And then that's what his life has actually become. Now he's a multimillionaire. I talk about him in the book. He's a philanthropist. He's become hugely successful. He went, again, from homeless to wealthy and powerful and influential by seeing himself. That's nobody else made him that way, and nobody stopped him from being that. That's he put his attention and his vision and his focus suddenly on a better life, not the story of him struggling, living in homeless shelters and struggling to support his kid. He decided to start seeing himself living in abundance, with wealth, with excess money, with sending his kid to a good school, with living a good life. And that's what's in all of our power. We can all start to see the story of our life going however we want. And that's what I encourage. Use your imagination for fantasy. The lie in the world has been told that we don't make a difference, we can't impact people that much, we don't influence the world. if we're lucky, if we're really smart, you want to know what, Ken? To be a human being means that you are fantastic, you are blessed, you have powers and abilities that are given to you by this universe, that when you learn to align your conscious mind and your body with those talents and abilities and the things I teach you how to unlock in this book, you can have, do, and be everything. That is the right of all of us, not some of us, not just the great few, not the smartest people. Literally every human being's gift and opportunity is to live a blessed and abundant, happy, fulfilled life. And for all of us, that's different. For some, that means being a farmer. For some, that means being a teacher. For some, that means being a rock star. But it's available, and that is the right of all of us as humans. And that's what I think on a massive level the world is waking up to. And I'm just one voice, one teacher, one guy out there promoting this and saying, hey, guess what? Really, whatever you focus on is going to become your life. And when more and more of us wake up to that, start living that way, we are going to transform this world in beautiful and amazing, exciting ways. And it's already happening.
Yes. Yes, that's, oh boy, I'll say. Well, you're sharing some things that I think are so important because obviously it's much needed in the world. If people had been doing what you did to make your life better with the 100-plus people at the very beginning of your book, when you read that list of names, folks, you're going to see such variety of people. And so you kind of go, well, who is this David guy? And when you say, well, he's got a kind of an interesting life and he's doing stuff, and there's construction, there's public speaking, there's just on and on, and motorcycles, airplanes, and then his motivation. I mean, it's like, okay, here's someone that's going for it. And then you look at the list at the beginning of the book and you go, well, no wonder he's got people like Tony Hawk, he's got the public speakers, he's got Barack and Michelle Obama, he's got family members. So there's a whole variety of things, and it's like, ah, okay, there are all these people that are doing well in the world. I love the way, David, you're using them as reasons that you can do it too, versus some of the times we see people with stuff and we go, darn, I'm jealous. I don't think I can. I don't like them. Their life is so easy. And that's
what I really want to encourage. You look at somebody like J.K. Rowling. Actually, her name is Joanne Murray. She's the author of the Harry Potter series. She was literally single mom on public assistance, working as a secretary when she conceived the idea for Harry Potter. And she wrote that story. The story barely got published. It went to 12 different publishers. One of them finally decided to publish 5,000 copies of the book because one of the kids of the editors, whoever had it at their house to proofread, their elementary school-aged child, maybe a 9 or 10-year-old, started to read it and thought it looked good and asked the dad to read it to her, and that became Harry Potter. So understanding that Harry Potter now has sold 480 million books, Joanne Murray, who was a single mother on welfare, is now literally a billionaire, the wealthiest woman in Great Britain, wealthier than the Queen of England. That's what's possible in today's world because of our technology. And when you understand a story like that, that ultimately what did she do was just follow her intuition and trust that this science fiction story about this kid, Harry Potter, and this crazy place called Hogwarts and all this magic, that there was some value there for to write it down and share it with the world. She felt it and she trusted it, and look at what the result was. And that's what I'm showing you behind the scenes, the dynamics of how do these people who we say, I'd love to be in the position she's in. Well, so would most of the world. Well, if we follow our intuition and trust our instincts at what we're good at and develop our talents and abilities, we will, and we can.
Wow.
And all kinds of people, you know, instead of just talking about the greatest philosophers and the people who might be regarded as the experts, I'm just saying, look at who is succeeding in the world. Look at the people that are really making an influence. Look at the people who are being successful as entertainers, as business people, who are really making an impact. And then follow, what are they doing in their life? Richard Branson, he's a mentor to me. He's an idol to me. And he's really living his life in a way where his business is all about making a positive impact and being of success to himself, but he employs lots of people. He's a benefit to a lot of people. He's got huge vision about global space travel, commercial space travel, and all kinds of exciting things. He's an adventurer, and I looked at him, and I said, man, this guy's doing it. He dropped out of high school, and he's gone on to create a gigantic empire by following his instincts and being fair and doing stuff that's fun. He started his empire by making concerts and selling records and ultimately, you know, providing music and background for people's lives. And it's important, as evidenced by the fact that he's succeeding. So those are the kind of people I've looked at in my life to focus on as to model my life after. And luckily, so far, I'm having the same kind of results. And that's what I'm trying to teach everybody to follow and do.
Well, see, you've brought up something, David, that I think is so very important. In the past, if we look at human history and different lineages, families, royalty, bankers, there's been a lot of course, there's been wealth on the planet all the time. And some of the people that have become very wealthy, to become wealthy, they did some things that were certainly not recommended in the Ten Commandments. They were pretty sleazy and slimy folks that did stuff that was way out of integrity, and and so they built wealth, and so later on maybe they donate money to libraries and do other stuff, but somewhere in people's lives when they started to think of folks that were wealthy as somehow they hurt someone, cheated someone, they did a bunch of bad stuff. And what I love is that you're pulling forth for us is just like in this thing about Branson, or the Harry Potter books. I mean, from humble beginnings, they didn't go out and rob and steal and cheat. They followed a dream. There's something inside of us. You're telling us in our book, with we find our purpose there with key number 5. You know, this is to me exciting that we can start to take time to shift our role models from wealth being associated with people that were liars and cheats and thieves to people that followed a dream and have helped not hurt people. That's huge.
Sure. I mean, if you look at a person like Oprah Winfrey, has given hundreds of millions. At the time that I wrote my book, I believe that the number I found was maybe $380 million Oprah has given to different charities over the past maybe 20-something years, 25 years, since she's become a public figure, notable television personality. That is enormous. That's huge. Oprah's living a phenomenal life on her own, and she comes from the Deep South. She's born in Mississippi. She had an abusive background, single parent, raised a lot by her grandmother, had some hard times in her upbringing. But as a person in the United States of America, look at what she's been able to do. And what I do in the 12 Keys, I tell you her story, and I say, Oprah was naturally a really great speaker and talker. She's always been a good talker. Even as a child, she was a great talker. She could recite Bible verses. She got the nickname, the preacher, from local, I'm not sure if it was her grandmother who gave her that name or just people in the community would call her, but she won debate classes, and she was on the speech team, and she entered a beauty contest when she was 17 that she won in Tennessee, and she was on the radio as a news reporter on the radio, and then she got a job as a part-time news reporter on a TV station when she was only 19 years old. She was consistently doing things that were developing her speaking abilities, her communication abilities, her journalism abilities, that ultimately her becoming an anchor on the news and then becoming the host of some local morning talk show type things before landing AM Chicago, what became the Oprah Winfrey Show, it was just a natural succession of her being her, of her developing her talents and abilities. It's the same story as Steven Spielberg I tell in the book. He made a indie film for Boy Scout merit badge when he was 13 years old. And from that point forward, he kept on making movies, and that became his life because he's passionate about it. And so he kept developing his talents at it, and that's what he's done. Kid Rock, the same thing. From the time he was a little kid, was playing music and entertaining people, and that's become his livelihood. Steve Irwin was always into animals. His parents owned a reptile farm, and that's where he grew up, was living with alligators and crocodiles and things. And then you saw him become the crocodile hunter and inspire us with being enthusiastic about animals and all that. And that's what I'm offering and encouraging. And also, I mean, what you said about wealth is you can do a tremendous amount of good with wealth and with money, and you can feed people like George Foreman and Muhammad Ali have, and Ellen DeGeneres and Oprah Winfrey. You can make and affect social change with wealth. Just like you can do negative things, you can do positive things. And ultimately, the light will win. And so there are plenty of people who have plenty of wealth, who have that wealth because they're doing good things. For example, Joanne Murray, J.K. Rowling, the Harry Potter author. She's entertained lots of people. It's employed lots of people. It's given lots of people entertainment and to create those movies and the books, and the whole chain of events has been productive and prosperous for lots of people. So she's benefited by it. And that's what I say in the book, is when you understand that that's the relationship between what you're putting out and what you're getting back, then you'll understand you and I have the same exact potential as everybody in the book. The guys who started Facebook, they're successful because it provides a lot of service and a lot of benefit to a lot of people, period. Mm.
Wow. Ah, this has been wonderful. Now, I'm just kind of, I'm curious about, out of your book, because there's all these keys, is there one that you consider the most important of all of them?
Great question. I would say that they are all kind of like hands on a clock, if you will. Is the one hand more important than the 12 hand? I mean, they all make up sort of different aspects of one concept. But if I were going to pick one, I would say the first key. I put them into succession on purpose. So I say the first key is having an open mind. The number one thing. If your mind is not open to new ideas, new information, new actions, you are not going to produce new results. You're not going to make changes. You're not going to change your life, period. So first and foremost, you have to have an open mind that maybe there's some things you can learn. Maybe there is some information available. Maybe there are tools and techniques that you could learn from or learn that other people are doing that you could employ in your life. And for myself, that's where it really began. I opened my mind. I said, well, if this guy is succeeding and there's something I can learn from him, maybe I'll read his book. Maybe he's got something of value to teach me. And what I learned from reading hundreds of books by hundreds of different successful people throughout all history is success leaves clues. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We really have to learn to model and pattern our lives after people who are achieving and doing things that we want to do and achieve. So if you want to be a great civil rights activist, look at what Martin Luther King did. Look at what Mohandas K. Gandhi did, and then follow their agenda. Nelson Mandela has been hugely effective civil rights leader, helped bring down apartheid in South Africa. If you want to be involved in that type of work in your life, look at what they have done and look at how they employed civil disobedience and look at how they have been leaders of effective, successful civil rights movements. You don't have to reinvent it. So if you want to be successful in business or in your relationships, and I say that we want to all be successful at all of it, all of it. And the quickest way is to look at who has been successful at the things that you want to succeed at and then look at why are they successful. And that's what I'm really breaking down is the dynamics and offering that is just saying it's not random. It's not luck. We live in a system of cause and effect, action and reaction. So if you have an open mind, then you will be able to receive maybe some information that'll help you, that'll uplift you, that the fact that your thoughts are powerful. And that's one thing that I talk about in that chapter on an open mind is that our thoughts are like seeds that we plant. And if we water them, they grow into fruit bearing trees. If we plant and we don't pay attention, they might grow into weeds. They might become overgrown. They might tangle up our mind and our life. And for, unfortunately, a lot of people are in that state of affairs. But the good news is, the 12 keys is a tool that helps you to prune away those weeds and intentionally cultivate the garden of your life so that you can have, do, and be whatever you want in the fastest, shortest way possible. And what I have found is that by doing what others have done, for example, George Shinn, he's the founder of the New Orleans Hornets. He's been a personal mentor to me, a guy who I met while living in New Orleans. And I read his book, and he tells exactly, he says, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'm not the hardest working guy in the world, but I'm totally aware of how and why did I amass a giant financial fortune, own an NBA team, live a really blessed life with all kinds of houses and yachts and wonderful blessings, employing hundreds of people and giving millions of dollars to charity. And if you want to know how and what I've done, just read this book. So I read that book, and he tells lots of great things, and I followed a lot of stuff that he said, and it's worked for me, too. So I relay that message in the 12 keys. And I do that from, about, like I said before, about 100 different influential, successful people who have learned how to live an extraordinary life, whether on purpose or by accident. And I dissect how and why did their life come to be what it is and really offer a new story that isn't out there, that it's easier than we might think, that it's more fun than we might think, that being a good person and genuinely following what makes you happy will actually lead to success in other areas of finances and relationships. And that's not really a very popular story that we hear out there in the media. But the truth is, every person who's hugely successful is doing something they're passionate about that they love. Oprah loves being Oprah. Oprah loves being a journalist. It's clear. It comes through. Steve Irwin loved being an animal rights activist. They're very passionate about what they do, and that's what we find. Shaquille O'Neal was passionate about playing basketball and is passionate about being a personality out in the world. Madonna is passionate about entertaining people. Justin Timberlake, passionate about entertaining people, and then great at it. So offering you all those tools and more.
Ah, this is great. I'm just excited that people could go to THESOLYD.com. Solid for Science of Living Your Dreams. That's a great acronym. The solid.com. And they can download, as you said, your book, or you can order the hard copy of it. Look, I'm looking at the places they can look at all this information about different role models, blogging, so people can interact with each other through the blog that you have, all these different resources, mind, body, spirit. Wow.
That's right, Ben. My goal is really create the world's leading resource of positive mind, body, spirit tools. So everything from yoga to channeling to business development, you can get Zig Ziglar, Les Brown, Tony Robbins to pump you up and motivate you. You can get some world-class athletes and trainers teaching you some powerful things, breathing techniques, physical fitness. You can also get deep into some spiritual teachers and some really neat information from all kinds of videos I have on there. And one thing I want to mention to everybody listening, the best thing you can possibly do right now is sign up for a Twitter account if you don't already have one. Follow me, the 12 Keys, on Twitter. Because there are so much stuff now happening in such exciting ways, so many events and festivals and other organizations that I'm currently involved with and TV shows I'm going on and hopefully a television show that I'm going to be the host of that's in development right now. But the easiest way to stay posted and stay abreast of all these things and all the other people I'm connected with is follow on Twitter, follow the 12 Keys on Twitter. And it just is a quick, easy way to get little updates, little quotes, little stories, videos from all kinds of other people. You can get it at thesolid.com, but you can also have it sent to you via Twitter.
Ah, okay.
It's a new thing. I've just gotten into it and really see that it's a really powerful technology that some really influential, smart people, connected people are using to reach the world. Jeff Skoll is a co-founder of eBay and of the Skoll Foundation. They finance all kinds of progressive media, the movie An Inconvenient Truth, and Chris Anderson, the founder of TED, which is TED Talks, all kinds of positive, powerful, influential people talk on TED.com, and then they get reposted on Twitter, and now I'm understanding and seeing how these people are connecting with each other in major global causes and really, really making stuff happen. Bill Gates, all kinds of people are on Twitter. It's cool.
Wow. Well, thank you. Jeez. Oh, David, I feel like we're just getting started and we're at the end of our hour. This is just amazing. So, folks, go to thesolid.com. Open up your life, open up your mind, open up your heart. And thank you, David, for taking time to be with us today.
Ken, my pleasure. And everybody listening, I just want to tell you that you are a powerful, creative, unlimited, infinite being right now, whether you know it or not. You are perfect. You are blessed because you are alive, and you have the power to have, do, and be everything that you want. And if you're listening to this, that means you can go to thesolid.com. You can download even the audiobook for free and listen to it. It's 2.5 hours long, and it will pump you up and remind you that you can literally have it all, do it all, and be it all right now. And right now is the best time to get started. There is no other time but now. So I'm appreciate you taking the time to listen to this. That means that you want to live your best life, and there are so many tools and resources. Bodiesoflight.net is another amazing website with another amazing program. There are so many people that you can connect with that can uplift your life right now by using my website and following me on Twitter, and I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to this interview, and Ken, I appreciate you having me on the show.
Oh, thank you. Well, David, beloved listeners, until we meet again, God bless and goodbye for now.
Let go.